6 Talk Radio, WBOB.
And here are the top news stories we're bringing you this morning. According to AAA, the average cost of a gallon of unleaded regular is about 20 cents more than this time last year, and the national average price could reach as high as $2.70 per gallon this spring. The Florida State Senate passes an $88.7 billion budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The budget includes millions of dollars for new school safety measures and sales tax holidays. Florida Governor Rick Scott signs education bills that include no free speech zones and tighter rules on teachers' unions. And the National Rifle Association has filed a federal lawsuit to block the new Florida gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. The NRA says it's unconstitutional.
Contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Hour number three of the three fastest hours anywhere. Morning Talk Radio. Ed Dean, good morning. Along with Roger Henderson right here at 222-TALK, 222-8255. So within just a matter of hours, the NRA came out over the weekend and said after the Florida, underneath Governor Rick Scott, the state of Florida signed into a law that would raise the minimum age to buy rifles, all rifles, from ages 18 to 21, the National Rifle Association filed a federal lawsuit to block that bill. The NRA says that the bill is unconstitutional. Here's from our friends at News 4 Jax. Here was Scott Johnson on the very descriptiveness of what the bill and what the lawsuit details.
Within 3 hours of Governor Scott signing gun control legislation on Friday, we learned the National Rifle Association was suing the state. The NRA is arguing a very specific portion of this bill is wrong in their eyes because it raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. Banning long rifles like the AR-15 is not common nationwide. Very few states do it, and if this heads to the Supreme Court, Florida's law could really impact the country. And the bill fell short of an all-out assault weapons ban like some of the victims of the mass shooting in South Florida were calling for. It used to move pretty quickly, not thinking it will take the federal judge too long to make any sort of ruling. I met up with Rod Sullivan, a former constitutional law professor, who says the district court judge on this case is more liberal in his rulings and could favor the state. But the NRA will probably fight this case to the end.
Now, former constitutional law professor Rod Sullivan says here's the breakdown of what may happen if this case, and it certainly will, go to a lower court here in Florida.
I'm really not surprised. They were obviously waiting for the governor to sign the bill. They were ready to pounce on the issue. And the complaint they drafted was not drafted in a day. I don't predict they're going to succeed at the district court level in Tallahassee. I think they will lose there. But from there, they get a chance to go to the 11th Circuit in Atlanta. And after that, they have the chance to go to the U.S. Supreme Court and raise this issue there. Yeah, it does come down to the Second Amendment in that the Second Amendment is different. It's a fundamental right. It's not like the right to buy cigarettes or to drink alcohol. This is a right that's in the Constitution.
Now, what was stuck in this bill? I mean, like a lot of bills, you know, you have a big spending bill. There's certain pork barrel provisions that are in a bill that's not heavily being reported. There is an area that if schools are allowed, now, they're not mandatory, but if schools and those within school unions, those within local schools and the school boards are allowed and they sat back and say, hey, listen, we're going to allow some of our teachers to be trained. There's going to be a huge course that they're going to have to take inside. I think it's like 120 hours, Roger, mm-hmm. that they're talking about. There is 12 hours. Are you ready for this, folks? 12 hours of diversity training within this gun course for a teacher. This issue was brought up from Tucker Carlson tonight.
Well, Florida's Republican-controlled legislature just passed a battery of new gun control laws. The specific law raises the minimum age for buying a gun in the state to 21. It imposes a minimum 3-day waiting period and bans bump stocks. It also creates a school for arming employees, but requires them to complete at least 12 hours of diversity training. Tell me why it contains 12 hours of mandatory diversity training. How would that stop mass shootings? But let me just re-ask my question. How would that prevent future mass shootings, which is, I thought, the point of this?
Diversity training has now become a race issue when it comes to protecting people at a public school. This question was asked with Florida Democrat State Representative David Richardson about why are we including 12 hours of diversity training when it comes to protecting students at public schools?
Well, I think the diversity training was added because it would give everyone an opportunity to understand different communities and their needs and the diversity. So I know that there was a lot of concern from the communities of color about putting guns in schools and the Stand Your Ground laws here in the state of Florida. And so there felt like it would be beneficial to have diversity training as part of that bill.
You notice Roger Henderson, he threw in the Stand Your Ground. This has also been an attack. People say this is all based on racism. Again, I don't know why gun control has to be based on racism. The news reports out there that we've documented on the show also point out that 35 to 40% of those that have used Stand Your Ground in the court cases have been those, as Ed would say, areas of color. In other words, those in the black community and the Hispanic community. But also inside some of these provisions, parents, civil rights groups, and some of the news articles as of today say that some of the Democrat lawmakers, the bill that Governor Rick Scott, the school safety bill that Governor Rick Scott signed into law on Friday, may have unintended consequences for students of color. This has to do with the Guardian program. And that says that, you know, if as a last resort, they decide to go down the road and arm themselves, that somehow this will have a disproportionate effect on against black students compared to whites. And there's just no argument for that, some would say.
Yeah, call it paranoia, call it, baseless fear. But, you know, there are a lot in the black community who I've spoken with who legitimately fear, they're honestly fearing that if teachers or school employees are armed, then there's a greater chance of black students particularly being shot in, quote, accidents or breaking up situations.
But here's an interesting question. If this bill is to deal with mass shootings, as it's called, look at them all. I mean, we've had even those in the black community have chimed in on this show, and they've said, hey, Ed, if you notice, the shootings aren't happening at black schools. They're all happening in white Caucasian schools out there. That's been the argument. So why is this becoming a race issue? But another valid question has been asked. This also was with this debate with Tucker Carlson. The question is, with the NRA, again, wants to block the Florida gun bill. They want to have they filed a federal lawsuit to raise the minimum age. Again, the bill would raise the minimum age from 18 to 21. Tucker Carlson asked the question, well, wait a second. Voting is a right. Freedom of speech is a right. Oh, we're going to raise the ages when it comes to that as well.
But just from a constitutional rights perspective, so that's a right specifically mentioned in the Constitution. Okay, it's not like the right to buy alcohol. I mean, specifically mentioned. Are there any other rights specifically mentioned, like the right to vote or the right to free speech, that we could kind of bump the age cap up to 21?
So that's going to be very interesting to see where this lawsuit goes through. The economy. The economic numbers that have come out, especially with the jobs on Friday, revise upward. Remember, 235,000 jobs for the month of February. Now, the Trump administration says 313,000 jobs were created. But the question is who gets credit? Is it President Obama or President Trump? This question was asked by CNN. Allison Camerato was asking U.S. Senator from Connecticut, Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal, this very question. Can you give the president any credit for these great job reports?
Or not? Very strong economy at home, obviously. Look at what's happening with the jobless numbers that will be out this morning and the stock market. Lowest corporate tax rate ever. And people on both sides said that they wanted to bring the corporate tax rate down. So why, from where you sit, I don't hear Democrats often giving the president credit for this. What gets in your way of giving him credit for some of these things?
Now, remember, this specific question was, and this happens on both sides, the specific question was about the economy. Well, here was his answer about the economy, which you won't hear an answer about the economy.
There remain severe economic problems.
I wonder what the severe economic problems are, by the way, but okay.
And challenges that we need to surmount, the problem of gun violence in our society.
Now, remember, the question was about the economy. Now he's talking about gun violence.
Without real action, our healthcare system needs to be improved so that people have access to real quality medical care.
Now, remember, the question was about the economy. So CNN Allison Camerato interrupts him and tries to get a direct answer about why could you not give President Trump the credit for the great job numbers.
Treatment.
Yeah,
there remain challenges that need to be overcome.
But do you think that do you give him credit for those things that I just outlined?
I will give him partial credit for some of them. The economy, for example, is, with all due respect, the result of policies begun and sustained by President Obama. and he's enjoying a lot of the credit for it.
Now, here's a question again we want to ask. If there's faults, for example, 2008, 2009, with the crash of the economy, if you want to say that there was too much deregulation with subprime mortgages, or you say there was not enough regulation, you know, the Glass-Steagall, you know, with Bill Clinton, by the way, also signed into law, which would allow a lot of these companies to combine their efforts and transactions, that had a major problem with the economy. Okay, had the argument. But we asked the question, what was the policies laid out by President Obama to turn around the economy that are still sustainable today?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Maybe it was cash for clunkers. Who knows?
Who knows? Cash for clunkers. Martha McCallum from The Story had the Fox Business News Network. Charles Payne says that, you know, when you ask this question, even the economists from the Wall Street Journal roundtable don't buy into any of this credit should be given to Obama.
Yeah, go, but we, you know, people say, oh, it's just President Obama laid the foundation for this. But I know the Wall Street Journal did a survey of 65-something economists and business leaders who said, no, actually, we actually attribute these gains to President Trump.
Economists know better, but in the American public, it may be swayed by the mainstream media. But I look at the data, and this optimism really took off in the last 3 months specifically. We really feel much more optimistic specifically in the last 3 months, and that's all President Trump.
That's all President Trump. And again, if there's any that should be given to President Obama, what should it be? More as we continue to move along. Your call is coming up next. A couple questions we have this morning. Diversity training. We found this snuck in the bill. 12 hours of diversity training. Not sensitive. Well, you could call it sensitivity. Diversity training. If some of the schools, not mandatory, but if some of the schools here in the state of Florida wants to have that, Roger, wants to be able to train an arm of a few teachers, what about resource officers? Are they going to have diversity training as well? When does this become a race issue when it came to protecting your children at the public schools? And does the NRA have a valid point? And the question is, we're asking you this morning, not what we think, but you, what is unconstitutional about raising the age 18 to 21. Some people that have called in this morning have made a very interesting point. I want to know if some of you agree with some of the points they've made before we go along with that. 222-TALK, 222-8255. We've got more of our trivia coming up here in a few moments right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-295 going north into Orange Park, right at the on-ramp, we're looking at an accident and seeing a lot of backup there. Traffic brought to you by Snyder Heating. Today, 64 degrees is our high. This evening, clear. We're expecting an overnight low of 41, and right now it is 61 here at WBOB.
Mike Gallagher next. Dennis Prager at noon. The Savage Nation at 3. Mark Levin at 6. Right now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Talk Radio, WBOB.
And here are the top news stories we're bringing you this morning. The Florida State Senate passes an $88.7 billion budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The budget includes millions of dollars for new school safety measures and sales tax holidays. Florida Governor Rick Scott signs education bills that include no free speech zones and tighter rules on teachers' unions. The National Rifle Association has filed a federal lawsuit to block the new Florida gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. The NRA says it's unconstitutional. And according to AAA, the average cost for a gallon of unleaded regular is about 25 cents more than at this time last year, and the national average price could reach as high as $2.70 per gallon by this spring.
Contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
All right, we're going to get to the phones in a brief second at right here on WBOB. Roger, you want to do a little bit more trivia?
Let's do some money. Let's give away some Ed Dean's money.
All right, remember, these are separate questions, so do not lump all the answers together. Name me the oldest elected president. Some of you think you may know the answer. Name me the oldest elected president. Name me how many presidents have been assassinated. That's our second question. And who was the first president that had a televised news conference? Three separate questions, three separate answers. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Another question, several people have been emailing. I'm asking you the question. The NRA say it's unconstitutional. What is unconstitutional for the state of Florida? Now, the Constitution says nothing about guns and the issue of ages. So if that's left quiet, should it be left to the states? But the NRA says, hey, we have a new federal lawsuit out there as of today. We want to block the new Florida gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. Some people have given an interesting perspective I find very interesting that I may share. But here's the question I want to ask you. What is unconstitutional for the state of Florida to raise the age of 18 to 21? I want to know what your opinion is. Not mine. What is your opinion? 222 Talk. 222-8255. Joe, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on this morning?
Okay, my question is with the diversity training. All right, so that means if you arm the teacher, or arm, a teacher's armed,
right,
and somebody walks into a school shooting, okay, so before that teacher can shoot the perpetrator or the shooter, does he have to worry about, while the shooting's going on, is he white, black, green, purple, whatever?
Joe, you know, as facetious as you may sound, this was in some of the news reports this morning about the very same thing. I mean,
I'm not trying to be facetious.
I know.
Realistically, I mean, you got a shooter like that guy last month, and there's bullets flying, and they want to take that guy down to save teachers and children, especially. And then if they do take them down, are they going to go do a whole investigation, interrogation, and all that?
That's right. I mean, I didn't say you're facetious. I said some would say, hey, Joe, your point could be facetious. I was going to say I don't think many people would see it that way.
I mean, why bother arming the teachers then if they take down a shooter and they're just like a cop? If he takes a shooter down, he has to go do all this investigation.
That's exactly.
It's going to create a whole hornet's nest.
Well, Joe, you know, there's a lot of those in the police community, especially here in Northeast Florida and Jacksonville. They question why JSO is even going to some of the higher ridden areas of crime. That's even some would say it's a race issue. But yet, if you don't go there and protect them, then it's a race issue. You can't win.
Right, excuse me, real fair. Exactly. I've been saying that for a long time. I said, if you got a high crime area and you go in there, the cops, you put a heavy police presence, they're saying they're being discriminated against.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard, and I'm not being racist.
I know.
I'm really not.
You don't have to explain. Joe, I know you, man. You don't have to explain. I know some people have to preface it. But, Roger, I mean, there is a somewhat of a point that he makes that, what's next? That let's say that somebody who may be of a certain color comes in, and you couldn't have shot him, but maybe we did shoot him because he was black. I think that question will come up.
It may come up, but I think the concern that a lot of the African-American leadership says they're concerned about that are pushing for this diversity training are not situations when active shooter situations are going on, but rather just a regular school fight and it gets out of hand, and then you've got armed people there who take care of it with a gun.
Hanging in the studios with us, my good friend, very well-known talk radio news broadcaster, our good buddy Wayne Dillon. Good to see you in the studios this morning.
Hey, good morning, Ed.
Dude, how did this race issue? I mean, Roger and I talk about hypotheticals, and you and I and all three of us have been in the news business for so many years. And the thing that I guess I would get at, another interesting question, that if there's a disproportionate amount of students being punished based on color, I'm all open for the investigation right there. But yet, this almost comes to bring up the same question, that if somebody comes in and are we going to determine whether or not they should be shot or not based on a skin color? I could see that argument coming up.
It's going to come up, and that's the whole thing. They're trying to make this a race issue, and there shouldn't be that. This is a safety issue is what this is, and I frankly just don't understand it.
Oh, 222 Talk, 222-8255. Let's go to George. George, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yeah, good morning. I think that it should be required to have a course in common sense before you take an elected position. The Democrats have come up with dumb idea after dumb idea after dumb idea. And Roger just mentioned the cash for clunker deal. That destroyed a lot of jobs and destroyed people's ability to start with a tiny shop and then build up to even owning a car dealership. Your car dealerships might charge $120 an hour, and guys starting out on simple stuff, maybe $20 an hour, and then as they progress up, maybe $40. And this was a bad deal for the economy. It destroyed jobs.
Now, Roger, I think you were kidding around.
Yeah,
I was
definitely being facetious.
But George, I mean, come on, George, can you not give President Obama any credit for the success of the current economy?
Oh no. We had union workers in Detroit making $90 an hour with all of their benefits and stuff, and driving plus regulations driving our manufacturing overseas. And the car companies went along with it instead of saying, "Okay, we'll drop our prices on parts. We'll help the little guys as well as the big guys." I mean, you look in depth at any one of these issues you're talking about, and you get to the details, don't do what the Democrats are suggesting. Do what conservatives suggest.
Thanks for the call. You know, it's interesting when you talk about Detroit and, you know, they claim that the bailout saved all these jobs. No one ever talks about the 100-plus, who knows how many hundreds of thousands of jobs that were lost by closing the hundreds of dealerships out there. Dealerships employ anywhere from 80 to 100-plus people. No one ever talks about that. Or what about the those that had bonds?
That's true. You think about those dealerships that we lost. We lost them in our area.
Right.
And I think some of it was politically motivated, too.
Some of it was politically motivated. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Alex, good morning. What trivia question do you want to chime in on?
Yeah, good morning, Ed. How are you?
Good this morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. There was 4 presidents assassinated and 6 others were attempted to be assassinated.
You know, I didn't know how many extras were good. I just knew about the 4 presidents, but there were 6 others that were going to be assassinated or attempted, right?
Attempted assassinations.
Were they all done with weapons, or was there like somebody that was going to like put something in their soup or something, or did we even know that? I'm just kind of curious.
I'm not 100% sure. I just know that there are 6 attempted assassinations, but there are 4 successful.
Well, you're correct on that answer, Alex, and you got a chance to win an Ed Dean's money, so you stay on hold, and Roger will take your name and information, brother.
All right, that sounds great. Thanks, Ed.
All right, you're quite welcome. Thanks for calling in. 222-TALK, 222-8255. 25 minutes after the hour, talk radio WBOB.
And if you are heading north on I-295 just before the Butler Boulevard, we're looking at a lot of backup on the traffic cams there right now. Cloudy, cooler, and breezy today. 64 is our high. Clear this evening with a low of 41. And right now it is 60 here at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at WBOB.com.
So we got more of our trivia that we got. So the other individual just got the last one about the 4 assassinations. So name me the oldest elected president in U.S. history, and name me the first president who had a televised news conference. You get those answers right, we'll put you in the mix to win Ed Dean's money. So the NRA comes out and says that the state of Florida over the weekend, by Governor Rick Scott, and by the way, this passed with a lot of Republican support, quite a few Republicans voted against it, was about the new gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles here in the state of Florida, ages 18 to 21. The NRA says the new federal lawsuit over the weekend, Roger, they say it's unconstitutional. I want to ask your opinion. You listening this morning, what is unconstitutional about them, the state of Florida, raising the age of 18 to 21? What is unconstitutional about that? I just want to know what you think. The Constitution is very quiet about ages when it comes to buying guns. I want to know what your opinion is of why it's unconstitutional. 222-TALK, 222-8255, Talk Radio WBOB.
Radio WBOB.
And here are the top news stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida Governor Rick Scott signs education bills that includes no free speech zones and tighter rules on teachers' unions. The National Rifle Association has filed a federal lawsuit to block the new Florida gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. The NRA says it's unconstitutional. According to AAA, the average cost of a gallon of unleaded regular is about 25 cents more than this time last year, and the national average price could reach as high as $2.70 per gallon this spring. The Florida State Senate passes an $88.7 billion budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The budget includes millions of dollars for new school safety measures and sales tax holidays.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at WBOB.com.
So members of the media attending the 28th annual Radio Television First Amendment Awards. Don't you like that title, First Amendment Awards? All met up and listen to what they had to say. They just bash conservatives, and they say that with under the age of Trump, this has been the most detrimental time and the most unsafe time for news reporters. Here with that was Dan Shelley, the organizing executive director.
In our nation's capital, during which we can find safe haven from cries of fake news and enemy of the American people. Never in our nation's modern history has it been more dangerous to be a journalist.
Wayne Dillon's in the studios with me this morning. You're a very well-known news broadcaster and talk radio down in South Florida. When you hear this, I mean, really? I mean, all the beheadings didn't happen?
Yeah.
This all goes back to the days of Bush.
That's the thing. What are they talking about unsafe at this point? You know, like you said, who's died from this? I don't know of any that have died from this, quote, fake news stuff.
Right.
So I'm not sure what they mean by that. I'm sure they're all concerned about their jobs in the fake news media. So
yeah.
That's something they better worry about.
So toxic is today's environment that newsrooms have had to drastically increase security. Some news organizations have felt it necessary to send their crews into the field with armed security guards.
Yeah, I mean, now, if you had stories, let's say it was conservatives or Trump people. Now, I don't know if this is the excess, or the excess could be, say, but, you know, when they take the news groups with them, when Trump does a speech somewhere, they always follow him. Listen, I assume you're going to get some people that may want to, you know, they may flip somebody the bird or something like that. But, I mean, really, were these instances that we see, you know, those from conservative, and that's what the dig is at. Come on, we know this, about where they need to protect themselves because they're afraid of bodily harm.
From conservatives? Is that what they're afraid of?
What do you think? Yeah.
I mean, come on. This is a joke at this point. They need to present the facts. Just present the facts, and they don't have to worry about their safety.
None of tonight's honorees and no one else in this room is a purveyor of fake news, and no one in this room is an enemy of the American people.
I do think CNN was in that room, so I guess there are a few purveyors of fake news. Here is Chuck Todd, the host of Meet the Press, says, and wait till you hear this. He says, those of us in the media, we don't like inserting ourselves when it comes to making the news.
One thing we're not is the opposition. We've never tried to be a part of the political debate.
We've never tried to be part of the political debate? Is that hysterical or
That's
what?
That's a joke. That's a joke. This is almost a comedy at this point. You know, like I said, present the facts, let the people decide, but instead they got to be comedians and all this other stuff.
It, people want to drag us into it.
Yeah.
We shouldn't take the bait. We're simply a voice of truth. There's no balance. There's just fairness and truth.
You know, I wish I could be like those two old guys from the Muppets, Stotler and Wardoff. I would just heckle these guys. You know what I'm saying?
they're not a part of the news.
Yeah.
Interesting. And a true voice, and the truth is what we all need to be hearing right now. A voice that no matter how many disparaging tweets or calls of fake news, we can't let it be silenced. There's plenty of people trying to undermine what we do for a living. There's plenty of people that are motivated to undermine us for their own gain, political, financial, or whatever.
Can I ask a question? Was there more fake news when President Obama was president? You know, I mean, all the great economic stories that came out and economic growth. And, I mean, you know, as we said before, if President Obama was throwing people in the river, the media would come out and say, well, he's just teaching them how to swim.
Yeah, you know,
he's not drowning them.
That's a good question, Ed. I mean, fake news, you talk about what they reported. I'd say half of the stuff they reported wasn't true, but it wasn't considered fake news. And that's what's really scary. It should have been.
Just keep that in mind. We just need to be fair, credible, honest, and most importantly, transparent.
If they were fair, credible, and honest, we wouldn't have a job here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Here was Bob Schieffer. I want to play this clip for you in the audience. Bob Schieffer from CBS. He says that the problem with all these, you know, you got one group reporting, which is kind of, he makes a valid point. Fox will, you look at a story, Fox reports this, Salem Radio reports this, and then those on the left will report something else. And he says, the problem is that maybe we have too many news opinion groups out there.
We're no longer basing our opinions on the same data. If you listen to one channel, you get one set of facts. If you listen to another channel or read another publication, you get another set of facts. So what's different now is we're basing our opinion on different data. It's not the common data that in the old, more orderly days of what I call the gatekeeper era, where you had three television stations and one newspaper in every town. Maybe you didn't agree with the editorial policy, but you took pretty much for granted that what was on the front page or what Walter Cronkite said was true, that
right.
He had gone to the trouble of checking it out. Now there are 700 channels out there. We're bombarded with so much information, we simply cannot process.
You're a news guy. Is there something wrong? I mean, not that I buy into every site there is, but is there too much news outlets out there?
Well, there is. And exactly
really?
Absolutely.
All right.
What Bob Schieffer said is true. You got to separate facts from opinions, and the news should be based on facts. We don't know if what that reporter is saying is an opinion or a fact, and that's really what's confusing today.
Have we turned, even on Fox, I mean, you know at night, you know with Chris Cuomo on CNN, I understand where they're coming from. I expect that. Do we have too much, we've seen this over the last maybe 15 years. I mean, I go back to the 90s as a news reporter. and I'm still in my 20s. When we look at when have we seen, as you're as a news guy, you're just a couple years older than me, we see more editorializing in some of the news articles. When did we start seeing that?
I'd say about 15, 20 years ago. Before that, everything was based on UPI, AP,
right.
So what I considered credible sources. Yeah, and we did have three networks at that time, but they all seemed to report the same facts. And that's the key to this, opinion versus facts. And I'm sure the public's out there scratching their head saying, what's true and what's not true?
But do we have too many news outlets? I mean,
No, we don't.
Well, the argument with net neutrality is that we have too many of these groups that claim to be, well, you can decipher between who you think's credible and who you don't
think's
credible.
Right.
Let the audience decide.
We don't want to restrict the amount of news channels that are out there or information that's going out there. The public has to become intelligent enough to decipher and determine what's true and what's not true.
Like when Roger, as a news director, when he does news on the stations and things like that, he does them for a whole host of them with the family here. He does it. I mean, he calls it the way both sides. I mean, sometimes if there's a 60-second clip, which you know, he's going to say, okay, you know, which we talk about, you know, there's one group, like let's say that the governor signs an education bill. That he goes after teachers unions. Okay, and then Roger will report, and the teachers unions are against this for the reason why. Are we not hearing enough of that these days, do you think, or what?
You know, I try to be as objective as possible.
I know you are, yeah.
And in fact, as recently as last week, I got a call from a listener who criticized the fact that I'd mentioned a Democrat running for office. They think we should only talk about the Republican side. And, we have to give everybody I believe the audience is intelligent enough to make up their own minds if we just
right.
give them the facts.
I mean, I get that criticism, Wayne. I'll get it from those. I mean, from some on the conservative aisle, they know where I stand. They'll sit back and go, well, you're too politically correct. You don't want to take a strong position. I'm like, I'm a host. Nobody cares about my opinion. I lay out facts. Your opinion is what matters. And yet we criticize the left for injecting too much of the editorial in the news. Why would you want it from the conservative aisle?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. All these opinions that are floating around here, you don't know which ones are accurate, which ones aren't. I think that the public, and this is the key to it, Roger just mentioned this, hopefully the public is smart enough to determine what is true and what isn't true. They need to do some homework before they decide.
But, you know, even some of the conservative aisle, they feel, and it's interesting, that there's all these news outlets out there that we should not deregulate the internet or some of the news. We should regulate more. I don't buy into that.
No.
That would create more of a monopoly, would it not?
Yes, and I don't like regulation. We start squelching our voice. I'm totally against that. People should be able to say whatever they want, of course, within certain guidelines. But the public needs to really research this and understand what's true and what isn't true.
Wayne Dillon in the studios with Ed Dean and Roger Henderson. He's a very well-known news broadcaster on talk radio in South Florida. Here's the other question. You know that when you look at the left, and let's say if it was predominantly the left, I think conservatives, some might even advocate this, they would love to go after talk radio. They don't give a flip about the mainstream media. They want to go after talk radio.
They want to squelch conservative talk radio. They really do. And that's frightening. And we shouldn't want to squelch, you know, CNN and the rest
right.
of them. We're not squelching their opportunity to speak. We're squelching, not squelching, but we're questioning what they're reporting.
What is next? Religious radio? I mean, that would be next, is it not?
Yeah, that's it.
Am I right on that, Roger? Religious radio would be next?
It could be. You know, hopefully it won't, but it's always that risk.
But the target would be because, well, they don't mention their religion,
mm-hmm.
that they, since they're automatically Christians, the stereotype is they automatically vote for Donald Trump.
And they promote hate is the latest thing they say.
Roger covers a lot of that as well. More of this as we continue to move along. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Several of you have been emailing me this morning. I'll get your emails. One of the big questions we have this morning, that the National Rifle Association has filed a federal lawsuit here against the state of Florida and Governor Rick Scott to block the new Florida gun bill that would raise the minimum age to 18 to 21. The NRA says that raising the age is unconstitutional. Why and where? I'm asking you this morning. I want your opinion. Why is it unconstitutional? I mean, we have handguns that you have to buy here in the state of Florida, concealed weapons permit at 21. Why is it, if they say to be consistent, I'm asking you the question, and some of you this morning have given some good analysis, why is it unconstitutional? The Constitution is very quiet on the age of gun purchases. Should it be left to the states? And our other two big trivia questions out there, name me the oldest elected president. Name me the oldest elected president. Does that make sense? Who was the oldest guy to become elected president?
All right.
All right. And name me the first president who had ever had a first televised news conference. Get those answers correct. You can win Ed Dean's money at 222-TALK, 222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
I-295 northbound at Butler Boulevard, an accident with several cars. 95 north at Butler Boulevard, a new accident into us. And in 295 heading into Mandarin, we're looking at a broken down car off to the... Cloudy, cooler, and breezy today. Our high, 64 degrees. Clear this evening with an overnight low of 41, and right now it's 60 degrees at WBOB.
Gallagher is next. Prager at noon. Savage at 3. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB Talk Radio.
Here are the top news stories we're bringing you this morning. The National Rifle Association has filed a federal lawsuit to block the new Florida gun bill that raises the minimum age to buy rifles from 18 to 21. The NRA says it's unconstitutional. According to AAA, the average cost of a gallon of unleaded regular is about 25 cents more than this time last year, and the national average price could reach as high as $2.70 per gallon this spring. The Florida State Senate passes an $88.7 billion budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The budget includes millions of dollars for new school safety measures and sales tax holidays. And Florida Governor Rick Scott signs education bills that includes no free speech zones and tighter rules on teachers' unions.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
The 26th Amendment to the Constitution with voting rights, which was not an original amendment. By the way, Wayne Dillon, well-known talk radio news broadcaster here in our studios along with Roger Henderson, basically says that the age is at 18. Some people are saying, well, as a legal precedence, Wayne, if that's going to be the age, it's now a constitutional right, then maybe you should be able to buy a gun at age 18 if we're going to be consistent. Valid argument?
That's a very valid argument. Where do you draw that line, and how do you interpret all this, and who's going to interpret it?
Let's go to Mike. Mike, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yes, good morning, first-time caller. Enjoying the show this morning.
Great, thank you.
I wanted to answer one of your trivia questions.
Which one is it?
How about the first president to broadcast on TV?
Yes, sir. Who was it?
How about Franklin D. Roosevelt?
No, sir. That is not the correct answer.
Oh, okay. Well, I missed it then.
I appreciate it. Yeah, Mike, how did you find us? Not that it's difficult, I'm just saying.
I didn't know you were lost. No, I was actually flipping through the channels this morning and ran across your station.
Great. Mike, I promise you, it's fast-paced every morning. You will truly enjoy it. I'm glad you called in.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on. Enjoy the show. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. I knew he was going to say large, which I'm not. But anyways, large and in charge. Yeah, I mean, you know, part of the muscle. So, hey, Roger's no longer large. How many pounds are you down now, Roger?
About 35. In about a month?
No, he lost like in a week. So anyways, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Our Thomas, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. About the purchase of long gun, it's not just rifles, it's long guns. The reason it's unconstitutional is you're denying 18 to 20-year-olds their right to defend themselves with a firearm. If you're old enough to vote at 18, then you're an adult. And the reason that the handgun, I think, gets around that, which I don't necessarily agree with, but the reason is there's other options besides a handgun for self-protection. For a 19-year-old single mom living in a bad neighborhood, if you take away her right to own any gun, long gun, or to purchase legally from a licensed dealer, then you've removed the right to self-defense for 3 years.
Nope.
And you're going to put those kind of people at risk.
Now, Thomas, you bring up a very interesting point. We had a few callers alluded to that, to the 26th Amendment, because you have to be 18 to vote, then that would set a legal precedent. You would think that, fine, if that's going to be the case in the Constitution, you should be, like you just pointed out, 18 to buy a gun and keep everything consistent there. So that's the reason why some would say it would be unconstitutional. But again, here's the interesting question that I would ask you. The Constitution's very quiet on the issue of ages when it comes to the guns. So some would say, you know, Thomas, maybe that should be left to the states.
Well, I believe because our founders were around firearms their entire life, and it wasn't uncommon for young elementary school students to carry their firearms to school during that time period.
Right.
And there were indications where crimes were attempted in a schoolhouse, in an elementary school. And you have to remember, too, that back then, you know, you would have grades, let's say, from second to, you know, high school. Our grade would be 12th grade.
Right.
In the same classroom, and individuals in that room were armed, and there were instances where they stopped incidents, even back then, with firearms. So, yeah, personally, I've been around guns my entire life. I never accidentally shot myself or anybody or right. injured anybody. I actually had a firearm in my room, you know, from the time I was probably 10, 12 years old.
Yeah, I remember I used to impress people. They thought I had a 30-30. It was actually a Daisy Beebe Ryder. BB gun. He brings an interesting point. There are those out there that would say, in the argument, I've heard it all weekend, well, the Constitution needs to be redone because these were old muskets. Okay, if that's the question, then where else do you think the Constitution needs to be redone? Remember, Hillary came out in 2016, said we need a 21st century Supreme yeah. Court to, I mean, that means the laws that have been around. I mean, the Logan Act, which they want to go after Trump and Russia collusion, has been around for 200 years, but why don't we just change that then?
If they start ripping that apart, then we're going to have total chaos in the society.
222-8255. You want to go with who? Do you want to go with John next? Let's go with John. Hey, John. Good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, Ed. How you doing?
Good. How you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great, but I'm just guessing on one of your trivia.
Which one?
I think it was Eisenhower, the first. First TV.
Yeah, I'm going to give you that one because I prefer people to gain it not based on whittling it down through attrition. But he got the right answer. It's actually Dwight D. Eisenhower that was the first president of a televised news conference. But everybody thinks it was Kennedy.
No. Eisenhower, I remember.
Well, I mean, you know what's like, but I mean, to my knowledge, I mean, I'm not that old. I'm just saying yeah. everyone thought it was Kennedy because of Kennedy and Nixon debate.
Well, I don't want to give away my age, but I remember watching him in black and white.
222-8255. What is that? Anyways, more on the other side, 51 minutes after the hour.
And as we look on our roads, 295 going south at Butler Boulevard, there's a wreck involving several cars. Cloudy, cooler, and breezy today. We'll have a high of 64 degrees. Clear this evening with a low of 41. Currently, it is 61 here at WBOB.
Mike Gallagher next. Dennis Prager at noon. The Savage Nation at 3. Mark Levin at 6. Right now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Talk Radio. WBOB.
Well, Florida's Republican-controlled legislature just passed a battery of new gun control laws. The specific law raises the minimum age for buying a gun in the state to 21. It imposes a minimum 3-day waiting period and bans bump stocks. It also creates a school for arming employees, but requires them to complete at least 12 hours of diversity training. Tell me why it contains 12 hours of mandatory diversity training. How would that stop mass shootings? But let me just re-ask my question. How would that prevent future mass shootings, which is, I thought, the point of...
That's a good point. Wayne Dillon hanging out in the studios with us for a few minutes left. Very well-known talk radio news broadcaster out of South Florida. Maybe excluding the hurricanes, I've never seen an issue encompass all sides. And we take calls left and right on the issue of guns, within the issue of guns, teachers and doctors, whether or not they can tell authorities, hey, I think this guy or gal's mentally ill. They shouldn't have guns. And now you got the NRA having a lawsuit. Now you got diversity training if a teacher wants to be armed.
And what's that all about? I don't understand that. And boy, they are dissecting this subject like I've never heard before.
Right.
I guess that's good. That's good that we should look at it carefully. But let's not let's stick to the facts.
And can you imagine even asking that question, Roger? Like, what am I, stooge, for asking that question? You know what I mean? Like if we ask the question, why would there be diversity training? A legitimate question. Wait, now it's like, no, there's not a problem. Why diversity training inside our public school? It's a valid question.
My mother's a school teacher. Your mother taught school as
right?
well. We always were taught there are no such things as a stupid question. You can ask anything you
no,
want.
No, there is such thing as a stupid question. I normally ask them every morning. But I'm saying with inside this bill, diversity training?
Is this what they call pork?
Well, no, it's funny, but that's not. But diversity training. So, I mean, really, if somebody's committing a crime, you automatically think, well, if he's black or white, we're automatically just going to pull a gun on him. It just doesn't sell, I would think.
No, they need to stick to the facts, as I said.
Let's go to George. George, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, Ed. How you doing?
Good. How you doing this morning?
Pretty good. Hey, Reagan was 73 in his second term.
Go ahead.
Trump was the oldest in his first term.
Okay, so give me one or the, I mean, see, elected president. So if it was elected, you know, man, are you trying to, George is trying to be a lawyer with me. He's trying to outsmart me. I kind of like that. Because, no, because Reagan
no,
being, no, George, to your point, Reagan being reelected was still elected. Think about it. But to your point, hold on. You got the answer correct. Trump was the actually oldest guy to be elected. But that was the first time around. So you got the answer correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, hold on, man. Yeah, Roger, put him on hold. So George is outstumping me. That's actually, I got great callers. They're always trying to outstump me on this one here. And that was great because Reagan being reelected was still elected. You know?
That's right. Absolutely.
Anyway, so the media, talk radio, is talk radio, is there any more, is becoming more conservative, more mainstream, liberals trying to get involved? What do we see now?
I think talk radio is becoming more powerful. I really do. And this is great for radio, whether it's conservative or liberal. I'm surprised that liberal didn't make it. Of course, they had their shot at it. But I'm delighted conservative radio is doing what it's doing.
Keep it going. Yeah,
I'm glad Ed Dean's doing what he's doing.
I'm very blessed. Thank you so much. Wayne Dillon, very well-known company, talk radio news broadcaster. Good to see you in the studios. Roger, good to see you, man.
Nice seeing you.
Oh, man. So you can always email me throughout the day. We always carry and continue the conversation. Ed at WBOB.com. In about a week and a half, we got some huge news for another big event. Huge. You ever seen this car sales, guys? It's huge.
Huge.
Huge event we're putting on here in April. It is going to be big. And we want you to be part of it. And we're going to give you all the information here probably within the next week. We're thankful to God every day for this radio show. Thankful to many of you that listen in. Again, we always carry the conversation throughout the day. Ed at WBOB.com. Download the radio app. Carry any of the shows throughout the day. Again, go to WBOB.com. Coming up at 9 a.m., this is FM 101.1 AM 600 Talk Radio WBOB.